from the interim director, Department of Health and Human Services, submitting an informational report regarding a crisis bed analysis to determine the number of crisis beds needed in Milwaukee County to alleviate strain on the Psychiatric Crisis Services Admission Center. Informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Yes, this is another report that was also a part of the 2011 BHD budget, which directed the department to look at and determine the number of crisis beds needed in Milwaukee County to alleviate the strain on the Psychiatric Crisis Service admission. And here again, we have established an internal work group, which includes Mr. Kubitschek and some of his staff, to really kind of look at where we are in terms of our crisis admissions, look at the types of interventions and strategies that we've employed up to now. And in fact, you know, the BHD has been very successful in addressing some of their capacity issues over the last 3 years with some of the strategies that have been employed, with establishing agreements with five hospitals that they would take individuals who were in crisis directly from our ER room. And as you can see, there's been over 1,300 individuals that have been transferred. We also have been very successful with the Crisis Resource Center model that is operating on the south side. We have some crisis beds that are established with that Crisis Resource Center. So there have been a number of initiatives that have tried to address that. But as you can see on page two, here again, I think we're approaching this, and we need to have some additional data to help us as we look at making a recommendation about what might be needed in the future. We're going to determine the existing crisis program's impact on recidivism. So looking at individuals who are participating in our crisis programs, how many of those individuals are coming back through BHD. Also look at our emergency detentions. And then also look at specific indicators as to the community need regarding numbers of consumers that are turned away due to capacity issues and the number of days that they might actually be staying. So this is going to be an ongoing report. We also have the possibility, as we look at this crisis area, I think you heard of some of the vacant schools that were available through a presentation that the chairman had. Well, one of the possibilities is to see whether any of the vacancies there, and one in particular that they had was the Cox Center that used to be a clinic, which is was operated in a school, whether there's some capability to look at one of those sites that might be able to lend itself to some type of crisis, you know, respite resource on the north side. That was one of the things that had been proposed. We haven't had a chance to look at all of those facilities, so we don't know, but it was just thrown out there as a potential as we look at perhaps some alternatives to enhance our crisis capability in the community. Mr. Kubitschek is here. If you have some further questions or you'd like to add something, Jim.
Sure. I think one of the primary issues related to the expansion of crisis beds, specifically as it relates to the Crisis Resource Center model of care, is one of sustainability. Currently, they are in the last year of a series of grants from a number of different entities. After those grants have expired, they're at the point now where they're looking at other viable revenue alternatives. And the primary goal is they're working with the state to get the Crisis Resource Center recognized as a level of care that's reimbursable, that they would get essentially contact credit for. So that negotiation is ongoing and happening essentially as we speak, and it's going to play a major role in the sustainability of the existing program, and it factors heavily in any kind of discussion to expand that level of care. approximately 60%, give or take, of their population that comes through the Crisis Resource Center has an entitlement, has specifically some type of payer source that, for that level of care to be recognized, you would be able to get reimbursement at a sustainable rate.
Supervisor Rice.
Thank you. I want to make sure I understand the report, and I want to, if I could, draw your attention to the third paragraph on page 2 that kind of talks about the population and the audience that we're talking about. The report talks about increase to over 13,000 of the number of psychiatric emergency room visits. Now, can you tell me a little bit more about what that means? Where are these people presenting themselves? Private hospital, emergency room settings, or what does that number mean?
That 13,000 number is actual patients that have come through PCS's front door. So that would include referral sources from anywhere in the community.
Okay.
Now, there are a smaller number, and I don't have those numbers, of folks who are detained at a medical facility, or they're detained somewhere in the community, taken to a medical facility, and at that facility that detention is dropped. That's going to be a relatively small number of individuals, and typically those individuals will have either one of two things. Either there was no longer a need for them to be in involuntary treatment and a conversion to a voluntary treatment agreement was made, or there simply was no need for additional treatment. So, and again, we don't have those kind of numbers. All those 13,400 or so have come to PCS.
But I think the also they need to understand that the number that are actually admitted mm-hmm. is a lot smaller. So as we look at the universe, that's what we're trying to get a handle on, that 13,000 that come, but it's only, I mean, the number's like, what, 2,900 that actually are admitted for some type of inpatient stay. So that falls off dramatically. So again, I think that's what we need to really kind of look at, you know, whether some of those individuals could be served, you know, in a different model, could go to a crisis, you know, resource center, given that they're not admitted for any kind of long-term stay.
Exactly. What we're trying to get at with the goal of an expansion of crisis resource center type beds would be essentially two types of diversion. One type of diversion would be that they don't even present at PCS to begin with.
Right.
And that's about 50% of their population right now has never even come to PCS, or they don't come to PCS as they're entering into some kind of crisis situation. Second type of diversion would be a diversion from an inpatient level of care, where they present at PCS or they present at a local emergency room, they're detained, and rather than having to admit them to the hospital, they're able to put them in what will be considered an intermediate level of care.
Okay. So 13,400 present themselves at the door. 2,100 are admitted. 1,300 are sent to private hospitals. And those 1,300 are those with private insurance?
Or every one of them.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone.
And the balance are those without?
No, not quite. We still have the majority of our inpatient population have a payer source. We still have about 60 to 65% of our inpatient population have a payer source. The mitigating factor there is clinical capacity for the private hospitals to accept them. There's plenty of patients that we have that still have payer sources.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Go back to the 13,000 that are presenting themselves. Mm-hmm. How do they get there? And in some cases, have they been to the private hospital and then sent home?
This is a rough number because I don't have the exact number yet. We made an enhancement to our MIS system about 3 months ago, and so I don't have a quarter's worth of data that's really going to be specific yet. rough guess estimate is about 30 to 40% of our patients who come to PCS require some kind of a medical clearance first. The number of those that were in the private hospital that were detained at that private hospital, that's an impossible number for me to get right now until I get that number, and I'll be able to get that hopefully within the next month or so. More of an accurate picture of how many are presenting voluntarily at a private ER and getting detained there. If that's what you're getting at, I'm not sure that's what you're getting at.
Not necessarily. How many, let me ask the question this way, how many are presenting as a result of some law enforcement involvement?
85.
Okay. And then where in this group then is the diversion to Crisis Resource Center?
It's in there somewhere. Okay. That would be a 1, 2, 3, about the fourth paragraph down. We look at percentages of CRC referrals that come from BHD. Percentages of CRC referrals that come from outside agencies that don't have to come to BHD at all.
Okay. Well, maybe I'm not getting it again. But so of the total population that comes in the door, 2,100 are admitted. 1,300 go to private hospital settings, and then is a third group going to CRC or?
Yeah, there's a number of different, call them disposition options from PCS.
Mm-hmm.
I can just kind of go through them and give some rough percentage numbers. About less than 20%, we'll say about 17 or 18% are admitted to a BHD inpatient unit. About another 10% or so are admitted or are transferred to a private hospital for an inpatient level of care. We admit about 17% to our observation unit, which is an extension of PCS, so that we admitted, as an 18-bed unit, we admitted about 100 less to that one unit than we did to all four acute units. We also transfer, give or take, about 10 to 15% of our PCS populations to detox. And then there's also about another 15% that get admitted to the child adolescent unit.
Okay.
So overall, about 55, I don't want to say that, about 30% of the folks who come through PCS are admitted to an inpatient level of care that are adults. And then there's that additional 10% that get admitted that are kids.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them, we look at OBS, we look at Genesis, and we look at the CRC as a diversion from an inpatient level of care. So the balance of those are what we would consider diversion from the inpatient.
And right now, part of the difference between individuals going, not necessarily from BHD, but might go to the Crisis Resource Center, is those are voluntary.
Okay.
The majority of individuals that come to BHD would be involuntary, coming from law enforcement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's really the goal of behavioral health treatment, is to get as many of those converted to voluntary as possible, because then it's more effective.
Okay. Two more quick questions. One is, of the 13,400 visits, can you translate that into individuals?
Unduplicated count?
Unduplicated.
I can, but I don't have that number at my disposal right now. I can bring that back in further reports. And in fact, it's a very salient question in our, what will be the next report, because we'll look at that duplicated count in terms of the recidivism factor.
Right.
And what role does our Crisis Resource Center play in that recidivism role? So it's an extremely important question.
And finally, is the CRC able to tap private insurance?
On a limited basis, they have executed a contract with one of the major HMO providers who are willing to pay it because they see it as a viable alternative that is less expensive than an inpatient level of care. It's a third. The per diem rate is about a third or less than what it would cost as an inpatient hospital. The rest have not caught up to that yet. The rest of the major HMOs have not caught up. They want there to be a recognized level of care that they get encounter data for. Encounter data is the key piece here.
Yeah. And is there anything that the Milwaukee County can do from a policy perspective to enhance the prospects for that happening, for more insurance coverage to take?
Well, one of the things, that we've been having some discussions with one of the community-based agencies and their lobbyists is to try to get the HMOs to cover that. Mm-hmm. And we've expressed, I think, some willingness to work with them. We see that would be very positive to be able to cover the crisis, resource center. So I think that there are some ways and opportunities that we could help work with them around the expanded capability, because that's going to be critical, as Jim said, the sustainability. We provide some funding, about $250,000, I think, to the resource center now that's coming from BHD, but the sustainability is clearly going to be an ongoing issue.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any other comments, questions? Okay. This was an informational item. So we will move on to item number 13.